out in these days, if there's ever been a day we need to worship Him, it's today. But you do know that worship is a thing that we do on purpose. When you find the first mention of worship in the Bible, you find it in the story of where Abraham is taking Isaac up to the mountain. He's going to sacrifice his son. The reason he's going there, he has received a word from the Lord. And this is what Abraham said to the young man that was with him. He said, "The lad and I are going yonder to worship." He had made up his mind he was going to worship. He was going to do what God had asked him to do. Now, in order for him to worship, he had already cut some wood. I wonder if we might have a little more worship at the house of God if some of us had cut some wood during the week. Amen. We're coming to the house of God, and we're just content in plugging up our little electric logs and acting like God's been in the midst of us. Somebody say amen right there. Amen. What we need is some people that still, in this modern day, I realize a lot of our old praying grannies and grandpas have gone on to heaven. Some of y'all was around them long enough to know how it's supposed to be done. And a little bit of it ought to took off on some of us. Amen. And I'm going to tell you, we can get our churches back to where they need to be. We can get people saved in this modern day. We'll just get back to the formula that they had in the past. And oh, you say, "Well, preacher, we're in a modern age." Yes, I understand that. But praise God, I'm glad God transcends all generations and all ages. Amen. I'm glad for that. Well, it's a joy to be with the Edwards family tonight. They are some of my choice friends in the world. Brother Adam and his family are precious to me, and we have been friends for many years now, and we do a lot of meetings together. And I was thinking they probably heard everything I know to preach three or four different times, but that's okay. I've heard their songs a bunch of times too, and so I can sing all their songs. And so anyway, it works good like that, but I appreciate them so much. I appreciate your pastor and the good spirit that Brother Walter has, and he has been such a blessing to me in the days that I've gotten to know him. I love his son. Preach for Brother Darren up there at Spruce Pine, and always a joy to be with this family, and I appreciate them so much. If you have your Bible, turn with me tonight to the book of Luke, chapter number 7. I'm going to give you just a brief thought tonight. Luke chapter number 7, and I want to start reading in verse number 11. I did not come down here with any set criteria of what messages I would preach. I'm trying to be sensitive to what the Lord wants me to preach. That's the main thing. I can come down here and preach messages just for the sake of preaching messages. But you know, we're living in a day we hear a lot of sermons, but we do need a message. We know we need what God wants us to hear. And sometimes it don't always fit my narrative, it don't always fit your narrative, but if God wants us to hear it, He's wanting to do something because of it. And I'm glad that He will. Luke chapter number 7 and verse number 11, the Bible says this, "And it came to pass the day after that He went into a city called Nain, and many of His disciples went with Him, and much people. Now when He came nigh to the gate of the city, behold, there was a dead man carried out, the only son of his mother, and she was a widow, and much people of the city was with her. And when the Lord saw her, He had compassion on her, and said unto her, Weep not. And He came and touched the bier, and they that bare Him stood still. And He said, Young man, I say unto thee, arise. And he that was dead sat up and began to speak, and He delivered him to his mother. And there came a fear on all, and they glorified God, saying that a great prophet is risen up among us, and that God hath visited His people." Father, we thank You for the reading of Your Word. And Lord, I pray now that You'd help us for just a few moments tonight in this service. Thank You for the Edwards family, Lord, and how they bless our hearts each time we hear them. Father, I pray You'd keep them safe, and Lord, continue to use them, Lord, as they travel the highways for You. Father, thank you for this day that you've given us now and for this service, Lord. We're not just here to waste time, but Lord, we're here on business for you. And God, I pray that you'd speak to every heart that's here in this building tonight. Father, we'll thank you for what you do. Thank you for what you're going to do. In Jesus' name, we pray, amen and amen. Here in the Word of God that I've read tonight, you're reading about one of the most unusual stories in all of the Word of God, in the instance here of the raising of a young man that was dead. I don't have to tell you that that don't happen every day of the week. That's not something that we get accustomed to seeing. This is a very rare event that we're reading about and preaching about here from the Word of God tonight. But the Bible describes it like this. Jesus is coming into the little place of Nain, and the Bible said that he's coming in and he's got a crowd of people with him. The Bible said that there in verse number 11, he said, "And it came to pass the day after that he went into a city called Nain, and many of his disciples went with him." And I want you to notice, "and much people." In other words, there's a crowd that's walking with Jesus. They've been seeing Jesus perform miracles. They've been listening to him teach. And here his disciples are with him, and there's a crowd of people as they're headed in to the city of Nain. And then the Bible comes down and says this in verse 12, "Now when he came nigh to the gate of the city, behold, there was a dead man carried out, the only son of his mother, and she was a widow, and much people of the city was with her." Now here is another crowd. The Bible said that Jesus is coming in. You gotta get this visual picture tonight. Jesus is coming into the city of Nain. He's got a crowd of people with him, his disciples, and much people is with him. All of a sudden, here comes another crowd coming in the opposite direction, and they're having a funeral, if you will. They're headed to the graveyard. There's a young man that's died, and here they are carrying the body of this young man, and they're headed out of the city. And I see two crowds converging as they come into the city of Nain. One crowd's happy, one crowd's shouting, one crowd's watching miracles happen, one crowd is being taught the Word of God, and the other crowd, they're like all of us would be in the case of someone dying. They're sad, they're somber, no doubt they're weeping, their hearts are dejected, but they're doing their best to try to comfort a little mother who has lost her child. But here they are, and the Bible said that when they converged at the city of Nain, all of a sudden Jesus looked and he saw this widow woman, and he had compassion on her. And I thought about this. The Bible said he looked at her before anything else ever happened in this story. He looked at her and said, "Weep not." Now, it's easy to stop crying if your boy's not dead. It's easy to stop crying if he's already been raised to life. But here he is, he's still dead. And the Savior says, "Weep not." Some of y'all are dying because of some situation that hasn't changed. What the Lord wants you to do is stop weeping before it happens. Stop weeping right now and understand that God's working and God wants to help in that situation. Amen. The Bible said, he said, "Weep not." And then he walked over and there's some fellows there. The Bible describes it like this. They were carrying this young man's body on a bier. It's kind of like you've seen them carry the body in the Middle East where they'd carry it up on their shoulders, kind of a place, kind of like a casket, if you will. And they've got the body up there, and I could see these men as they're carrying the body of this young man. The crowd is thronging them, and the woman is weeping because of her son. And all of a sudden, the funeral procession comes to a screeching halt. There's a crack. I can imagine them fellas that's carrying the body of this man, these pallbearers, if you will. I could see them as they see another crowd approaching. And they're thinking, "Man, we got to go through there. What's this other crowd doing? Who is this?" And all of a sudden now, the funeral procession has come to a stop. And the next thing you know, Jesus begins to work. And he does something that man can't do. He brings life to a man that was dead. I begin to think about this. There's two crowds here. One crowd is carrying the casket, and the other crowd is changing the course. That's where we're at in our churches today. We've got a lot of folks that when they come to the house of God, they just simply come to help carry the casket. They're doing what they know to do. There's nothing any more routine than a funeral. We fit right into our routine, and many times we find ourselves just going along, just doing what we know to do, when all the while God is looking for some people who are willing to help change the course on some things, hallelujah, and not only in our lives, but in the church. I'm preaching on that subject tonight. Are you carrying the casket? Or are you changing the course? I'm going to tell you what course changers do. They set the casket down. They understand that there's more to this thing than just our motions and our form and our fashion. They understand that with Jesus in the midst, He will change the course, not only on people's lives, but He'll change the course of a church. Hallelujah to His name. I thought about here, these men are, and they're being pallbearers now. I don't know about you. I have been a pallbearer many times down through my years of life. I've been asked to be a pallbearer at many funerals. And you know what they never ask me when they call me and say, can you be a pallbearer? They've never asked me one time, do you have any weightlifting experience? They've never done that. You know why? Because you don't need supernatural power to be a pallbearer. But I'll tell you what you do need. You need supernatural power if you're going to change the course on some things. Hey, we can do the best of our efforts in the church world. With our talents and our abilities, we can do so much. But I promise you this, what this culture needs today is not what we can do, but this church culture today needs what only He can do. Hallelujah. If there's ever been a generation of people that needs to see a manifestation of the Holy Ghost power of God in our midst, it's today's culture. Amen. Oh, I hear about them talk about it days gone by. But let me tell you something right now. God hadn't changed a bit. Amen. How He's looking for is some people willing to set the casket down and let God begin to change the course. You say, preacher, what will happen if I set my casket down? Well, we've become today in our churches, it seems like we've got pulpit morticians and pew pallbearers. We as preachers, we come to the church and it's dead instead of just recognizing it for what it is. We try to put a little makeup on it like the mortician does and say, boy, didn't we have a good service today. Well, I got news for you. I didn't bring no mortician makeup with me down here this week. So if it's dead, y'all will be dead and ugly. Because I can't put no makeup on you. But I'm going to tell you what we need. I've seen it. You've done the same thing. You go by and somebody's died. You're trying to find the right words to say. And you'll say, don't they look good? We've all said that at some point in time, and we don't mean to lie. But the fact is, no, they don't look good. They're dead. There's no way to look good dead. Now, you might could rephrase it and say, they look as good as a dead person can look. But the fact of the matter is, you know what looks good? Somebody with life. And even though the best of our intentions, you say, well, I've said that before, I've done that, but can I say to you, we need, in this church culture, we need life. You know what the world's looking for? They're not looking for religion. The world is not looking for a form and a fashion. They're not looking for rules and regulations. But they are looking for something that can bring new life to them. Amen. Hey man, they've seen what religion could do. Religion don't do nothing but make you miserable. But I'm going to tell you what, something. You get somebody, I'm talking about true blue, born again, washed in the blood of the Lamb, saved and sealed by the Holy Ghost of God, and they'll have a joy about them that the old lost boys down on the job can't deny. They'll have a testimony among the community that everybody will look and say, look what God's done, amen. That's what our churches are dying for in this day, amen. And sometimes I understand the Holy Spirit don't always openly manifest Himself in a service. I like it when He does. We know He's here all the time because if you're saved, you have the Spirit of God with you. And he said, where two or three are gathered in my name, there will I be in the midst. So we know he's here. But I like it when he shows himself. I like it when he openly manifests himself. I like it when he knocks our program on its heels. And God begins to move. And oh, there's one thing that we need in this day, in our culture today. We need people sensitive to the moving of the Holy Ghost of God. You say, preacher, what'll happen if I set the casket down? I'll give you these and I'm done. Number one, you're liable to experience the definite touch of the Lord. What happened in this story? The old boys is carrying the casket. They're headed to the graveyard. All of a sudden, they run into another crowd. And they come to a standstill. And Jesus, no doubt they're wondering, who is this? And what's this crowd doing? All of a sudden, Jesus looks at that little mama and says, weep not. And then the Bible said he walked over and he touched the bier. And they that bare him stood still. Now, let me tell you something right now. I'm not the smartest. I'm not the sharpest knife in the drawer, but I do know this. When the Lord goes to touching stuff, business is about to pick up. When the Lord's touch is on it, you better understand this. You won't ever forget being there when the Lord's touch was upon it. I'll never forget years ago, we were up there at the church one Sunday. I had a little deacon and his wife in my church. They're both now in heaven, but there were precious people. And this deacon's wife, precious little lady, was diagnosed with Parkinson's disease. And we watched her over her journey with that. And she had withered away to the point she shook all the time violently. She couldn't do anything for herself. She couldn't even get herself ready to come to church. And she had gotten really bad. It had gotten to the point that she couldn't come to the church unless one of them brought her. And then sometimes she wasn't even able then. But one Sunday, I looked back and I saw that they had brought her to church. And I went back to talk to her. And I said, Miss Betty, it's good to see you today. And she was just sitting there shaking. And she said, Brother Leonard, I wanted to come. She said, but my daughter helped me get my clothes on. She said, I couldn't even get my clothes on. She said, it's just been hard. I said, I understand, Miss Betty. We got to singing in the choir that day. And we was kind of like we do. We was just carrying the casket. We were singing. We'll sing our three songs. And I had a little message I was going to preach. And I was doing my part. We was doing what we knew to do was right. We was carrying the casket. And we sung. And we sung first song. And there ain't really much happening other than us just singing. Kind of like a lot of our services. But nothing really special is going on. We sang a second song. And it's still about the same as it was. We're getting ready to sing our final song. As we begin to sing that song, all of a sudden I looked, and that little lady with Parkinson's disease, as we were singing, I can't even remember the song we were singing, but as we began to sing it, it apparently had touched her so. She got up out of her pew, and she began to walk toward the altar. She was shaking, and she was walking really slow. And when she got to the altar, she got down on her, and I'm talking about she's shaking because she can't hardly do anything. And she got down on her knees. She's weeping. And when that happened, God started touching stuff in the service. And what had been just a routine service up to that point, all of a sudden I looked and this little lady, she apparently decided to set the casket down. She said, you know what? I'm going to need more than what we're getting here this morning. And she came and all of a sudden some of our ladies started gathering around her and everybody's weeping, the choir. And all of a sudden others start coming to the altar and others are filling the altars. And man, everything, it's getting on. Up in the choir, people are praising God. It's like being in two separate services. All of a sudden, God began to put his touch on the service. And there was a little boy standing in the choir next to one of our men. And he was looking over all that was going on. He was watching what was going on. And he tugged on that brother's coat sleeve, Brother Allen. And he looked at him. He had kind of a speech impediment. And he said, Brother Allen. Allen said, what is it, Quentin? What's wrong? He said, Brother Allen, I believe we're getting ready to have church. Can I say to you, let me tell you something right now. When God goes to touching stuff, even the youngins will recognize that we're getting ready to have church. What we need today is the touch of a holy God in such a way that it affects you if you're 90 and it affects you if you're 9. Praise God. I don't know about you, but our children need to see a God that moves in our midst. They need to see that God is real. They need to see that His power is real. And they need to see the touch of Almighty God upon us in our services. Oh yeah, you might experience the definite touch of the Lord. He touched the bier. They that bear it stand still. Number two, if you'll set your casket down, the dead's liable to sit up and go to talking. The Bible said, now it's one thing for a dead man to set up, but when he goes to talking, you see, Jesus is a whole lot better than I am. I can't get him to say nothing. I can barely keep him setting up on Sunday morning. But can you imagine this? Here's they're carrying this dead body. They've run into another crowd. The funeral procession's been stopped. Here's a man now, all of a sudden, he's told her to weep not. He touches the bier and they're just standing there. And all of a sudden, he goes to talking to a dead man. He says, young man, I say to thee, arise. I can imagine them boys carrying that body just thinking, who is this fella? What's he talking to this dead boy for? But all of a sudden, when they felt movement in the casket, now I'm going to tell you, I've been in a lot of funerals. I've been in a lot of funerals, and I ain't never had nobody set up and go to talking. Matter of fact, somebody asked me one time, said, preacher, if you could decide some words you'd like for somebody to say at your funeral, is there something you'd like for it to be said at your funeral in particular? I said, yes, I know exactly what I'd like for somebody to say at my funeral. They said, what is it? I'd say, I'd like for somebody to say, look, he's moving. Wouldn't that be a good thing to say at your funeral? Look, he's moving. Amen. Can I say, all of a sudden, I could imagine somebody said, look, he's moving. Amen. And the Bible said, he that was dead sat up and began to speak. Now you think about this. Such an unusual event. A dead man is raised to life and he goes to talking and God didn't tell us what he said. You know why? It's one of them services you just had to be there. No way you could really tell. Can you imagine that? You've left church. You're going just down by the store and some of the old fellows, have a service today. He said, well, we was doing all right. We was going through the motions. All of a sudden, this fellow stopped the procession. And next thing I know, well, no, you wouldn't believe me if I told you. Amen. Can I say to you, we need some services that when we get out of church that we really can't adequately tell it because it was too holy and too rich and too right. Hallelujah to His name. But the dead's liable to set up and go to speaking. I remember years ago I was in a revival meeting in North Carolina. I'll not say where. But years ago I was preaching in a church, a pretty good sized church, had about 150. And I was preaching that night and getting some amens along in the crowd. And while I was preaching, some fella got to shouting. I mean, I'm talking about he was in the glory. And as I was preaching, he began to shout. And I said, man, I don't know. I was looking and scanning the crowd over to see if I could see where he was sitting. And I never could spot him in the crowd. But I preached on a little while, and he struck up in a little while and went to shouting again. And he'd done that about 3 or 4 times while I was preaching. I said, after the service, I was talking to the pastor. I said, pastor, I want to thank you for letting me come to be in your service tonight. I said, but I need to ask you something. I said, that gentleman that got happy and shouted while I was preaching tonight, I said, where was he sitting? I said, I never could spot him in the crowd. I said, where was he sitting? And the preacher, and this is the truth, with my hand up, as old Wendy Bagwell would say, this is the truth. He looked at me and he smiled. He said, well, preacher, just to be honest with you, he wasn't here. And I looked real confused at him. I said, what do you mean he wasn't here? I said, I heard him shout 3 or 4 different times. He said, no. He said, I've got that on tape. And he said, every time you'd say something I really liked, I'd nod my head at the sound man, and he'd hit play. You can't make this stuff up. You can't make this stuff up. You say, what did you say? I said, is there any way I can get a copy of that tape? I said, I know preachers all over this country that if we could somehow or another rig up a button on the back of the pulpit when we needed it the most. But I'm going to tell you something right now. If that's the only shouting you can get, I say, get you a tape, play it this Sunday. But praise God, what will be even better is if somebody decides to set down the casket and say, you know what, God's given me breath. I'm behind on my praise to Him. I've not given Him the due He deserves. And just let God get glory out of your life. Amen. Oh, yeah. The dead's liable to sit up and speak. I thought about this. Sometimes you get in the glory. And this modern culture don't know what you're talking about. I'll never forget one night, me and some of our men had been down at the church in a prayer meeting. We have those on a regular basis. And when I say prayer meeting, I'm not saying we're going down there for somebody to preach. We're going just for the purpose of praying. There's a lot of things could be learned in our modern churches about prayer. The disciples asked Jesus, said, teach us to pray. And then what Jesus started doing? He started praying, showing them how. That's the reason a lot of people don't know how to pray. Nobody ever showed them how. A lot of young preacher boys, they go off to school, and I'm not against that. They can get a degree, and they feel like that's made them a complete preacher. But I got news for you right now. If you're going to preach much, you're going to have to learn how to pray first. Amen. I got around some men as a young preacher that taught me what it was to pray. And I'm going to tell you something right now. I'm still running off the fumes of that in my life. Thank God. But we was down there in a prayer meeting that night, probably about 10, 15 of us. And man, I'm telling you what, it got rich in there. I mean, we got in the glory. It was such that after we got done praying, I still had the afterglow on. I got in my car and I'm driving to Mountain City, and all the way up the road, I'm still shouting and praising God over what we've just experienced in a prayer meeting. And I'm driving up through there, wiping tears and praising God, and all of a sudden I look up in my rearview mirror and there's flashing lights behind me. And it's a police officer. He's got his lights on, and I pulled over. Here I am, a mess, a blubbering mess. I've cried till my eyes are about swelled shut. I've shouted till I'm hoarse and raspy. And he walked up and I rolled my window down. He said, can I see your license and registration? I said, yes, officer. And I handed them to him. I'm a blubbering mess. He looked at me and he said, Mr. Fletcher, where you been? Where are you going? I said, well, I'm going home, officer. And he said, where you been? Well, I said, officer, I'm going to tell you a tale that you probably don't hear this every day. Matter of fact, you're probably going to think I'm lying to you. But I said, officer, I said, I just came from a prayer meeting at the church. And we've been in the glory. And I'm still in the glory. And I wasn't even paying no attention to what the speed limit was anyway. I didn't see it was 35. I wasn't. Matter of fact, I had heaven in my sights, not Mountain City. And I said, officer, I'm sorry. I was going more than 35 miles an hour. He looked at me real strange. Like, most of the time, somebody's trying to get out of it and say, well, I've got an appointment I need to get to, or something like that. No, we've been at the church and we've been in the glory. And the old boy looked at me and he said, he handed my license back. He said, preacher, if you'll promise me to slow down, I'm going to let you go on. I said, I'll do my best. Hallelujah. Amen. Can I say to you, wouldn't it be a blessing this coming Lord's Day? Y'all get in here, get in such a way that when you left, it'd be dangerous for you to drive home. I've been in the car driving and the Holy Ghost get in there, and when I come to myself, I done passed my place was supposed to turn, drove 10 miles the other direction. But I didn't mind a bit. And I'm going to tell you something right now. In these days, that's what we need more than anything. Oh, the dead's liable to set up and begin to talk. There'll be a definite touch of the Lord. You know what else will happen? Deliverance will be demonstrated. The Bible said this, Jesus touched the bier. He spoke to the dead young boy and said, "Young man, I say to thee, arise." He that was dead sat up and began to speak. At this point, he's as alive as he will ever be. He'll never be any more alive than he is right there. But I want you to notice Jesus didn't stop just bringing life to him. The Bible said this, "Then Jesus delivered him to his mother." I can see that boy sitting up there and he's looking around over them two crowds that's converged. He's saying, what in the world's going on? Who knows what he said? I don't know. I promise you this, so everybody there was listening. I promise you this. If a dead man starts talking, I'm not going to have to say, "No, you know, I can't remember what he said." I promise you this, you're going to remember what he said. And all of a sudden, he's sitting there and everybody's, I can imagine his mama's rejoicing. I can imagine now there's two crowds of shouting, not just one crowd. And all of a sudden, I can imagine Jesus walks over and says, "Come here, boy." And he picks him up and he takes him over. You see, the Lord didn't bring life to you to leave you where he found you. He had somewhere else he wanted to take you to. Amen. Thank God for that. I'm glad that God's in the delivering business. But you know, we don't see as much of that in this modern day. This preacher could probably tell you stories of days gone by. Some old drunkard gets saved by the grace of God, get totally delivered. Nowadays, folks come with their problems and make a profession of faith, and then they still battle their problem for the next 10 years. When all the while, the Lord wants to deliver them from that problem. Amen. I've got an old friend, Brother Adam Mim knows Brother Dean Dykes. Probably know Brother Dean. He's a wiry little guy that drove a truck for a living most of his life. But he was an alcoholic. He can tell you how many years he said, "Preacher, I drank," and he said, "I was such a bad alcoholic." He said, "There was days I drove a truck under the influence of alcohol." He said, "I remember robbing my little girl's piggy bank to buy beer." He said, "That's how bad I was." And then one Sunday, his wife talked him into going to church. And he said, 5 minutes after 12, fourth row back, he said, "My Budweiser met John 3:16. And he said, "I got delivered." And he ain't never been the same. I promise you this, if you see him on the street, he'll be shouting. He'll be talking about church and all this. Here a few years ago, he called me on the phone out of the blue. He's not a member of my church. He's from another county, but he loves me, loves my preaching. And he called me out of the blue. He said, "Brother Leonard, how you doing?" I said, "I'm doing fine. How you doing, Dean?" He said, "I got something on my mind. I wanted to run it by you, see what you thought." I said, "Okay, what is it?" He said, "Brother Leonard," he said, "I'm coming up on my 20-year anniversary of being saved. I will have been saved 20 years. I said, "Dean, that's wonderful." I said, "I'm thrilled to death for you." He said, "But you know, I got to thinking about this." He said, "People's all the time having birthday parties." He said, "They have birthday parties all the time." And he said, "I was wondering, why can't a man have a spiritual birthday party?" He said, I've got to thinking. I talked to my preacher and I said, "Could we use the church and maybe get a preacher to come in and preach and have some singing and stuff?" And he said, "What do you think about that, Brother Leonard?" I said, "Well, Dean, I ain't never heard of that in my life." But I said, it's so refreshing that I'm talking to somebody that's been saved 20 years and ain't got over it, and you want to throw a party. I said, "Hallelujah, sign me up, amen." I don't know about you, but praise God, every one of us ought to thank God for the day that He saved us. We ought to thank God for the day that He changed our life, changed the trajectory of our life. Hallelujah, delivered us from a life of sin. You'll set your casket down, deliverance will take place. And then finally, if you'll set the casket down, the discouragement of being at a standstill will fade away. Here's some old boys, they're doing what pallbearers do. They're taking a body. And you know what? Every time I've ever been a pallbearer, I never failed in it. We always got them to the graveside. We always finished with the burial. But here's some old boys, they ain't made it to the graveyard yet. And all of a sudden, Jesus interrupts the funeral raises a young man from the dead, and now the buyer is empty. And I imagine them old boys, there's a lot of questions going through their mind. They're probably, and the Bible said, they that bear him stood still. They had come to a standstill in what they were doing. Do you realize that's the hardest place to come to in your Christian life, is a standstill? That's a difficult place for a church to come to. It's a standstill. But let me tell you something. Let me encourage you this. Whenever you get a standstill, just remember this. The Israelites were at a standstill beside the Red Sea. There was an immovable object in front of them, and Pharaoh's army was hot on their heels. But all of a sudden, Moses said, "Stand still and see the salvation of the Lord." I want you to notice this. It's okay to be at a standstill if the presence of the Lord is there. And here was Jesus right in the midst of a standstill. Amen. Sometimes we think, oh, it has to be overflowing at the church. And I mean, we have to be running the aisles every Sunday, and everything has to be, I mean, it's just got to be exciting. And it's, oh, no, 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 no. What's important is the presence of the Lord there. If the presence of the Lord is there, don't fret about all that other stuff. That'll happen when God wants to show it. That'll happen. The presence of the Lord. If there's nothing else that's happened through all this we've been through this year, God has really shown us some things that probably we could have done without to begin with. And He's caused us to focus on the most important things. Our churches have gotten to the point that we're so driven by programs and things, and they're not bad. They do good work, and I'm thankful for them. But I'm going to tell you something. Maybe God wants us to get back just to focusing on Him. All that other stuff will take care of itself. I had a preacher one time there at the church where I'm at, been 27 years, and he came to preach for me. He used to teach for Dr. Harold Seidler down at Tabernacle in Greenville. Taught down there in his school. And this preacher was curious about the church. He'd seen how we'd grown and what we'd done and how the Lord had blessed. And he began to ask me, he said, "Brother Leonard, let me ask you something." He said, "How did all this happen here?" And I said, "What do you mean, how did it happen?" He said, did you have systematic visitation program or anything like that?" And I'm not against that, by the way, but I said, "No." I said, "Really?" I said, "Our people just take it on themselves. They invite people to church every week. They're out there. I don't have to organize them to do it. They just do it." And as a matter of fact, I had a man in my church. He's in heaven now. That man invited more people to church. He never saw a stranger. Everybody seen he was friends with. And he would invite more people to our church. He never held a position in the church, never taught a Sunday school class, didn't sing in the choir. Only thing he did was ring the church bell on Sunday morning for me. But that man did more. At his funeral, I told him, I said, when I preached his funeral, I said, "This man never held a position in this church. He never had any kind of any accolade like that. But I said, the best I can tell, it's going to take 10 people to replace. Because he was always trying to do something to be a help to the church." And if you want to see a church grow, be that man. And I promise you this, you won't have to worry about it. I went down to church one day during the week, and he was out down in the parking lot down there. I thought, "What are you doing down here?" I said, "Brother Calvin, what are you doing down here?" He said, "I was just down here picking up a few papers out of the parking lot. Nobody around, but he's down there cleaning up the church proper." Amen. Hallelujah. I'll be glad when I get to heaven and them rewards are passed out. I'll clap real loud when they give old Sarge his. Say hallelujah. But until that time, we're too far along to come and just carry the casket. Why don't we join the crowd that says, "God, would you help change the course?" started in me. Let's bow our heads tonight. I want to ask our sister if she will to get a song. Invitation to come and play if she would. I want to ask you. There's some situation tonight that you need to come. You need God to give the definite touch of the Lord in. It may be there's some things in your life or some areas of your life you need God to bring new life to it. It may be that your prayer life's kind of got stale. Or maybe even your tears have dried up. And your testimony is not as freely given as it used to be. And it may be that right now you just say, you know what, I'm not just going to go through the motions. I'm not going to just carry the casket, but I'm going to do my best. I want to switch crowds tonight. I want to get in the crowd where God's moving and changing the course. I want to ask you to stand to your feet tonight, heads bowed. And she begins to play. As God's speaking to your heart. If you've got a burden tonight, somebody you need to pray for, why don't you find a place here in this altar? Say, by the help of God, say, you know what? I want to be in that course-changing crowd. I want to see God move in our midst. I want to see God stir hearts like He has in days gone by. I want to see the fresh touch of the Lord upon us. I want us to come, and when we leave, we don't know how to act when we leave. Going down the road, praise God, the presence of God still lingers. Preacher, I just want God to help me. I want to set my casket down tonight. I want God to start changing some things in me and in my life tonight. I wonder how many more. Say, preacher, I want to come. If you can't bow, you can come and sit on the front here and pray if you need to do that. Oh, I'm glad God will help you tonight. Is there somebody here and you say, preacher, I've never been saved. I'm like that young man. I'm dead in trespasses and sin. But preacher, I need new life. Would you pray for me tonight? Is there somebody here tonight? You've never been saved. You lift your hand. Let me pray for you tonight. Anybody like that waiting just a moment? Anybody like that? Maybe there's somebody you say, preacher, I haven't come to the altar, but God has spoken to my heart. Would you pray for me that God will help me? I want to be in that crowd that's helping change the course. I want God to help me. Anybody like that? Lift your hand. Take it right back down. Anybody? God bless you tonight. Anybody? Father, we thank you for what you've done for us. We thank you for how you've helped us. God, I pray, would you take this message to our hearts? Lord, may we receive it with gladness tonight. God, may you begin doing a great work in our midst, Lord, even in this pandemic, and even in this difficult time. Father, we know that you've not brought us this far to let the enemy beat us down now. But God, we know that your power is still real. God, we know that the praises of God's people are still powerful. And Father, I pray, would you help us once again that we might hear the testimonies of praise. And God, that we might hear the shouts of glory in the house of God. Father, I pray, would you stir a revival in the hearts of each and every one tonight, in each heart tonight. Father, we pray and I beg you, God, just to meet our needs according to your mercy and grace. Father, we're going to thank you for what you do. Thank you for what you're going to do. In Jesus' name, preacher, you come tonight.
Brother Leonard, for delivering the precious word of God. Remind the Sermon on the Mount, blessed are those that hunger and thirst, for they shall be filled. It's a promise. If we will get hungry for the things of God and thirsty for the things of God, the filling's automatic. All we have to do is do our part. Sometimes feel this, Lord, do our part and it'll happen. God is one that just gives all these promises. And if we will obey the scripture, what he already told us to do, we don't have to ask for him to do it. He'll do it. Oh, my heart's clear. We appreciate the goodness of God, all the ones that came in that. God's been so good to us. Edward's family, wonderful singing. God's been so good for us. The Wana kids will be here tomorrow night. They'll be in the service, hearing the Word of God. They love preaching to Brother Leonard. And I know some other people do. You do, and I do. Most of all, the preaching of the gospel of Jesus Christ bring results. Touch of God comes with it. God promises that when we get where we ought to be, He'll do His part. As you leave tonight, the ushers will be back there with the offering plate, and all the offering tonight will go to Brother Leonard. If you'll make out a check to the church, Fletcher First Baptist, and that will be given to him. We appreciate so much you coming. All minds and hearts clear tonight. Back tomorrow night. Pray much for God to send an awakening for us. Seems like all the things that's happening, you get out of the ordinary and just kind of get lulled to sleep, don't you? But we need a spiritual awakening. It begins with us. And it has begun with us. Thank God, thank God, thank God. Brother Jason, come up here, please, and pray with us and for us as we ask God to be with those special prayer requests. There's so many people hurting, and God has the answer. All we have to do is just trust and obey, for there is no other way to be happy in Jesus but to trust and obey. If we'll do that part, God will do the touching. All minds, hearts clear.
Dear Lord, we want to thank you, Father, for your presence. We want to thank you, Father, for your goodness. We want to thank you, dear Lord, that you give us one more chance, Father, to come back to you. We want to thank you, Lord, Father, for waking the dead, Father. And we pray, Father, for over this church and over all the churches of this nation, dear Lord, your people, Father. We pray, Father, for an awakening, Lord. We do ask, Father, that you'd help us to wake up out of sleep, Father. We're in a deep and a dark way, but, Lord, you can come by and you can touch us. And, Lord, we pray, Father, for that touch, God, on this place, on this people, and on me, Father. I just ask, Father, you just help us, Lord, to be what you want us to be, Father, to walk the way that you want us to walk, Father, to go out to this lost and dying world and spread some life to it, Lord. Lord, we got enough of that old disease going around that we could touch somebody and spread that stuff. But Lord, if we could just touch somebody and spread some life, Lord, how good would it be if we could just spread a little bit of life to somebody, yeah. Lord? Lord, we want to thank you, Father, for the message tonight, Father. We want to thank you, Father, for your presence. We ask, Father, that you'd help us in Jesus' name. Amen.